The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Gemara in Masech the Shabbos, Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis, tells us, my Chanukah. What is Chanukah? The Tana Rabbonon, the rabbis taught, Bechofei B'Kislev, on the 25th of Kislev, Yumid Chanukah Timnayu, there shall be 8 days of Chanukah. Inan de Leila Mishpat Behind, and de Leila Lisanis Behem. These are days when one cannot have Maspidim, eulogies, or fasts. Shikshanik Nusu Yavonim Lahecho, when the Greek Empire is also known historically as the as the Syrian Greek Empire, when they invaded Eretz Yisrael and they went up against the Beis HaMikdash and they went into the Heichal was the inner chamber of the Beis HaMikdash. It's not the most inner chamber, that was the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but they went to the Heichal. Timu Kol HaShmonim SheBeHeichal, they profaned all of the oil that was in the Heichal. Ukshagovru Malchus Beis Hashmonoi, and when the house of the Hashmonoim, this was the family of Kahanim, when they became strong, Unsochum, and they were victorious over the Yevonim, over the Greeks, and they went to purify the Beis Hamikdash and also to light the menorah, Botku, Vele Motzol, Elapach Echot Shoshem. They searched and they found only one flask of oil, Shehayamunach b'chayisomei shel Kohen Gadol, which had the seal of the Kohen Gadol on it to testify to its purity. And there was only enough oil to last for one day. So they lit the menorah, Nase b'neis, v'hidliku mimenu shmeni yomim. And a nase took place, a miracle. And this oil lasted in the menorah for 8 days. Shonacheres kovum vasum osom yomim tevim. The following year, the sages of the generation, established that these days every year should be held as yomim tevim, as days of rejoicing. Behalol uvehedo, through halol, through the saying of halol, and hedo, and the giving of thanks. This is what the Gemara tells us, what Chanukah was, in a very concise manner. The Rambam elaborates a little more. The Rambam in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Megillah v'Chanukah writes, "B'bayis Sheni." It was during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash. Kishemalchi Yovan gozur gzeiris al Yisrael. And the Greek Syrian Empire made decrees on Israel, Ubotla Dosum, and they tried to destroy the mitzvahs, the Torah, the mitzvahs of Israel. Lahinicha isom lasik b'teira b'mitzvahs. They didn't allow them to fulfill Torah and mitzvahs. Uposhtu yodom, poshtu yodom amameinam uvinaisehem. And they stretched out their hand to take their money and their daughters. And they went into the Heichel of the Beis Hamikdash, and they did all types of profanities. And Israel had great sorrows from this, and tremendous affliction, until the God of our fathers had compassion, and he saved us from their hands, the Gobru B'nei Hashmonoi HaKahanim HaGdeilim, and the B'nei Hashmonoim, who were the Kahanim HaGdeilim, they were strengthened, the Horgum, and they killed them, the Yishia Yisrael Miyodum, and saved Yisrael from their hands. Behemidu Melech Min HaKahanim, and they put up a king from the Kahanim, the Chozer Malchus Yisrael Yesa Mosaim Shona. And the Malchus, the kingship, returned to Israel for more than 200 years. Arachur ben Ansheni until the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash, which took place later by the hands of the Romans. Ukeshegavru Yisrael alayvehem v'obdum, and when Israel was victorious over their enemies and they destroyed them, v'chofei b'chedish Kislev oyo, it was on the 25th of Kislev. And they went into the Heichel, the Beis HaMikdash, and they couldn't find any pure olive oil. Only one flask. And there was only enough to light for one day the menorah. And this oil lasted for 8 days in the menorah, until they had time to ground new olives and to bring out new oil. Ubibneze his kinuchachomim shibay sedosh shemayne shomim eilish shetchilos and chofei bekislev yemesim chavahalu. Therefore, the sages of that generation enacted that these days, beginning with the 25th of Kislev, shall be 8 days of simcha and halor. Umadlikin behen anedes beerev al pischei abatim, and every night we shall light candles by the doors of the houses. In order to publicize and to show everyone the great miracle that took place. And these days are called Hanukkah. And one is not allowed to make eulogies or fast on these days, just like on Purim. But lokas haneres behen mitzvah b'divrei sefrim. And the lighting of the candles is a mitzvah from our rabbis. It's a mitzvah midivrei sefer, a rabbinical mitzvah, kekriyas haMegillah, similar to the mitzvah of the reading of the Megillah. A little later, the Rambam writes in Perek Dalet Halacha Yud Beis. Mitzvah ner Chanukah, mitzvah chaviva hi ad me'od. The lighting of the candles is a precious, a very, very precious mitzvah. The tzorech odem lizoya b'her. A person must be very careful, kedei lahidia hanes, in order to show everyone the miracle, ulahesi b'shvach hakel, and to give praise through this to the Almighty, v'yadiyolai al anisim shosalonu, and to give him thanks on the miracles which he did for us. Even a person who's so poor where he doesn't have what to eat and he has to live on stock, on charity, he's still obligated either to borrow or to sell clothing in order to get money, in order to get money to buy oil and to fulfill this mitzvah. This gives us a little background into the reason why we have this this yantif of Chanukah. Now the Gemara tells us, also here on Masechta Shabbos, Daf Chof Aleph, Amud Beis, Tana Rabbonin, the rabbis taught, Mitzvah Chanukah ner Ishu Beisai. The mitzvah of Chanukah, how do we fulfill this mitzvah, ner Ishu Beisai, that we should light one candle for every household. La Mahadrin, what does Mahadrin mean? So Rashi brings Achra Mitzvahs. Those who want to pursue more mitzvahs. And that's how the Rambam also learns. Rabbi Nechanan learns, it comes from Loshon Hidur Mitzvah Ad Shlish, those who want to beautify the mitzvahs. So those who want to do the mitzvah better. Ner lechol echad ve'echad. Then they should light a candle for every member of the household. La mahadrin mina mahadrin, and those who want to beautify or do the mitzvah even better, so beshame aimrim yemrishin malik shmeina mikan veilech peches vehelech, Beis Shammai says, then you don't light only one candle, but you light on the first night 8 candles. And every day you light one less. The first night 8, the second 7, the third 6, and so forth. And Beis Hillel says now, the first day you light 8, excuse me, 1, and you add, it's the second day 2, the third day 3, so forth. So we have 3 dinim, 3 laws here. The basic mitzvah, the mahadrin, a way to do it in a more beautiful way, and the mahadrin mina mahadrin, a way to do it even better. The first din is, which is the basic mitzvah, ner ishu beisei, ner echod b'chol lailo, v'ish b'chol b'nei beisei, sagi lehu b'ner echod. One candle for the entire household. No matter which day of Chanukah it is, and no matter how many people live in the house. Basic mitzvah is every day the head of the house lights one candle, which is for that day of Hanukkah, regardless which day it is, and for the entire household. The second din is the mahadrin, a way to do it better, ner lechol echod ve'echod, that we add candles in accordance to the number of people in the household. If there's 3 people living in the house, then we light 3 candles. And the third din is v'mahadrin mina mahadrin, is that we add candles in accordance to the day. And on that there's a machlekes, a discussion between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Do we add the candles or take the candles away? But we'll go according to Beis Hillel. That on the first day 1 candle, the second day 2 candles, the third day 3 candles, and so forth. Now there are, excuse me, I was just wondering if you could open some more windows. Now there are various interpretations into this Gemara as to exactly what does the Gemara mean. One way you can learn is the mahadrin min mahadrin, the way to do the mitzvah the best way, is that every member of the household will light a menorah, and he will light as many candles which correlates to the day. Which means that if it's the third or fourth day of Hanukkah, so then, and there are 5 people in the house, so 5 people will light, and they will all light 3 or 4 candles. That's one way to learn, and that seems to be the simple custom which is prevalent by us. That's the way it would seem from the Ramah, although it's not 100% certain, but the Mishnah Berurah brings that way. There's another way to learn that the Gemara means, not like that. The Gemara means that the basic mitzvah is 1 candle for the entire household, and the mahadrin, the second best way to fulfill the mitzvah, is everyone lights 1 candle. And the mahadrin mina mahadrin, the best way to fulfill it, is that the balabais lights candles in accordance to the number of days. Only the balabais lights, and he lights candles in accordance to the number of days. In other words, not that everyone lights and everyone lights in accordance to the number of days, but if everyone lights, that's the mahadrin, they light 1 candle. The mahadrin mina mahadrin is the balabais, the head of the household, he will light alone, and he will light candles in accordance to the number of the days. That's the second interpretation in the Gemara. That's how Tosfos learns. And that's how it seems in the Rambam also, which was the simple custom, not how the Rambam learns in the Gemara, but there was a simple custom in Sfarad in the Rambam's areas. the Balabais lit alone, and he lit in accordance to the number of days. And interestingly, there was a great gaon by the name of Rebbe Eliyahu Yosef Henkin, Zecher Tzadik Levrocha, that lived not too long ago, and he writes in his Luach, that's all he writes, that's the Ikar Halacha. The Ikar Mahadrin min Mahadrin is that the Balabais should light alone. And you light, and he lights in accordance to the number of days. This that everyone lights, that's a din of the Mahadrin, that's not Mahadrin min Mahadrin. And he says, if others want to light, it's sufficient, they should light one candle. The Balabais is the one that lights all of the candles. Then, from a point of interest, it seems that the way the Rambam had learnt in the Gemara, but he admits that's not the custom in Sepharad in his area, but the way he had learnt in the Gemara, it would seem from what he's saying, is only the Balabais lit, according to all the levels, only the Balabais lit. The basic mitzvah was Nerechad Lebesai, that the Balabais would light one candle, each day one candle alone for the entire household. The Mahadrin, the better way to light, Ner Echad, Ner Lechol Echad VeEchad, that there should be a Ner, one candle for every member of the household, that also goes on the Balabais. If you had 10 people living in the house, then the Balabais lit the first night 10 candles, the second night 10 candles, the third night 10 candles. See? He added, not everybody in the house added, but he added in accordance to how many souls lived in the house. The Hamadrin mina Mahadrin meant that he added not, the Balabais added not only in accordance to how many souls there were in the house, but also in accordance to the days. See? So he writes, if there were 10 people living in the house, so on the eighth day, he would light 80 candles. See? He would light one candle for each member of the house, and then then it would come out eight, since it was the eighth day, eight candles for each member of the house, and there were 10 members in the house, so he would light 80. So the whole mitzvah was in the Balabais alone. At any rate, we have different interpretations in what the halacha is that the Gemara tells us, but this is certain, that the Gemara gives us three ways to fulfill the mitzvah. See? Ner Chanukah, Ner Isha Beis. The basic mitzvah is, as you light one candle for the entire household, and that's how you do it every day. Ba'mahadrin. Then it gives us a better way to fulfill the mitzvah. Is Ner Lechol Echad VeEchad. You light candles in accordance to the number of the people that live in the house. Whether the Balabais does that, or everybody that lives in the house does that, that's given to interpretation. But you add candles in accordance to how many souls live in the house. Mahadrin mina Mahadrin, and then it gives us a third way to fulfill the mitzvah, even a better way. And that is, you light candles to correlate with the days of Chanukah. Beis Shammai says you start with eight and then go down to seven and six and five. And Beis Hillel says, no, you start with one and then go up to two, three, four, and five. Now, whether everyone does that or just the Balabais does that, that's also given over to interpretation. But this is what we see from the Gemara. Now we can ask some questions. First of all, why were Chazal, did Chazal give us so many options with this mitzvah? He should have told us what the mitzvah is and finished. We don't usually find that all. The fact is, I don't know where we find that Chazal will give us a mitzvah and say, this is the mitzvah. Then it tells us, Mahadrin, there's a better way to do the mitzvah. And then it tells us, yet a Mahadrin with Mahadrin, there's even a better way to do the mitzvahs. This we don't find. If we do find, it's very rare. So why weren't they just, they should have just made the, told us how to do the mitzvah. Why did they give us so many options that we can do better and still better and still better? That's one question. Second question is, Mativu Shalaha Durim Halolo. What is the significance of these Hidurim? Why is it better? See? You want to light candles? Light 100 candles, light 1,000 candles. What is the significance of adding these candles more than the basic mitzvah? Excuse me. Let's give some thought to this evening and see what we can come up with. In actuality, this whole mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is a hidur. What is a hidur? A hidur is something that you do more than the Torah required. The Torah demanded so much from you, and you do it better. The whole mitzvah is. Because this is not a mitzvah min haTorah. The Torah never required this mitzvah. And this is a mitzvah which is known as Ein LeShedish B'Torah. It has no source in the Torah. Even though for sure there's a mitzvah min haTorah to give praise and thanks for a miracle, there's a mitzvah that if a miracle takes place to a person, he has to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This we bring the Korban Teder, we bench Gemel. There's a mitzvah to be happy on a day that a miracle takes place to a person, or especially to many people. But that mitzvah is merely to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to rejoice in the miracle. But to enact a particular mitzvah, of which this mitzvah has many, many halachos and many dinim with a structure, and it has to be fulfilled this way or not that way, and with a brocha, that we don't find in HaTorah. But yet we find it here. It wasn't sufficient that Chazal said that we should give thanks because of the miracle. But they were a mesakin, they were a machadish. They made a mitzvah. And the mitzvah is with the whole Shulchan Aruch. The whole Sugis Gemara is all kind of halachas. It has to be fulfilled in the exact proper way, otherwise you don't fulfill it. And it has how to fulfill it, and with what to fulfill it, and at what time of day to fulfill it. And with the bracha, like for all mitzvahs. This is what is known as a chidush. This is adding something new, which the Torah did not at all command. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Megillah, and actually it was not only this mitzvah, but also the mitzvah of Hallel, to sing and to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is always in order. But they also enacted a mitzvah where we say Hallel during Hanukkah in its totality, Hallel, every day of the 8 days. The Gemara brings in Masechta Megillah and Daf Yudalid. It brings in regards to the mitzvah which was enacted on Purim. Mikra Megillah, the reading of the Megillah. The Gemara says, there were 48 Nevi'im v'sheven Nevi'ais, and 48 prophets and 7 prophetesses. And all of them prophesied for Israel. But all of them, lepochsu v'leisiru, never took away one letter from the Torah or added one letter to the Torah, or mashikosa b'Torah. Chutz mimikra Megillah, with the exception of Esther. That Esther came and added a new mitzvah to the Torah. What was it? It was the reading of the Megillah. Gemara says, what right did she have to do this? So Gemara brings how she was able to do it. She, together, what's the Sanhedrin? Rashi asks the Kasha, what about Hanukkah? We find the same time of Hanukkah, Vim Tema, Ner Hanukkah. Hanukkah also, they added a mitzvah to the Torah. So Rashi says, yes. But it wasn't through prophets. Faposku and Avim.
aber bei mir Mordechai hoye Chagi Zechariah Malachi.
Yes, in Hanukkah also they added a mitzvah, but that was later, and that was after the time of the prophets already ceased from Israel. And here the Gemara is saying of all of the 48 prophets and 7 prophetesses, this was the only case. So what do we see? We see that Hanukkah was where they added a new mitzvah to the Torah, which the Torah never demanded from us and never required from us. And from one aspect, it's even greater than Purim, because Purim, at least they did it when they had Nevi'im, when they had prophets. Here, Hanukkah, which took place after Purim, there were no prophets, so it was left up to the Chachomim, to the sages of the generation. So what do we see? We see that the whole mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah in its very essence is a hidur, is something which we are using to improve on what the Torah commanded from us. More than that, what the Torah commanded. Now the question is why? Why did they do it? Why did they find it necessary? A reason perhaps is the battle which took place on Hanukkah, the sages tell us, which was with Israel and the Yevonim, the Syrian Greeks. This was an empire that was not opposed to Israel physically. The war with Israel was not Lehashmid or Lehareg, to destroy them physically. To the contrary, they wanted a treaty with Israel, and they wanted to live peacefully with them. Their war against Israel is like it states in the Alanisim, Kishomdu Malchus Shavono Rasham Hu Israel Ashkichom Teresecho Laavira Mechuke Retzenecho. They stood up against Israel to make them forget Torah and to remove from them the statutes of Hashem. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and gave them into the hands, the Tameim b'yad Tahorim, the impure into the hands of the pure, Rishoyim b'yad Tzadikim, the wicked into the hands of the righteous, Zaydim b'yad Eiske Seresecho, the wicked into the hands of those who study Torah. It was not a physical dispute, it was an ideological dispute. Yovan, we have spoken at length this in other shurim on Hanukkah, which we won't go into at length this evening. There are tapes available of those shurim. But Yovan was known as the nation and empire of the world that were the greatest chachomim. They were a very, very wise nation, a very wise people. They had a brocho that went back, the Gemara tells us, to Yefes, one of the sons of Neach, Yafte Lekim LeYefes. And Yovan was a descendant of him, which gave them a wisdom which far surpassed all of the wisdom of the other nations of the world. And they reached a level of wisdom where they had the crown of wisdom and understanding into the entire physical world. This was the nature of that nation. And they were a nation which seeked a physical perfection. And there was no nation that was a wiser nation than them, with the exception of Israel. And the reason for that was, is Israel had the wisdom of the Torah. Israel had a wisdom of Kedushas HaTorah, a wisdom which was sanctified, which was beyond this world. But when it came to the understanding of the physical world, This was the greatest of all of the nations. Im yesh chokhma bagoyim tamin, the sages say, if there's wisdom by the nations, believe it. And the greatest was this empire. Im yesh teira bagoyim al tamin, if there's Torah by the nations, this do not believe. She'ein teira rak b'Yisrael. Torah is found only in Israel. And to give you an example of the wisdom of this of these people, let me just mention just a few things that have gone down in history from the Greek Empire. You know, through the ages we are constantly improving ourselves technically. In secular wisdoms, in secular sciences, in secular knowledge, there's constant growth. Yet you will find that the principles that the ancient Greek nation laid down in secular sciences and in secular knowledge, we have never revolutionized them, and we have never changed them. We have merely built on them. This is true in many, many cases. And this they did without the assistance of all of the modern technology that we have today. Let me quote a few things. All subjects that start with a geo, geography, geometry, geology, these are all subjects they developed first. Geo in Greek means earth. And graphy means to write. There are many, many such subjects that we haven't changed. We have just built on. Hippocrates was known as the father of Western world medicine. The medicine of the West was built on Greek wisdom. He lived in approximately 500 BC, and it's written on him that he was the first to identify cancer and to name it. Cancer is a Greek word which comes from the word crab, because they saw it was a disease which spread out like a crab. The word diet also comes from the Greek medicine, because they were the first to develop what they call diet, nutrition. And the Hippocratic Oath is still taken by doctors. This is medicine. Aristotle was known as the father of philosophy and science and astronomy. It's written on him that he and his colleagues proved to themselves that the world is a sphere almost 2,000 years before it was popularly accepted in 1500. 2,000 years before modern science came to the conclusion that the world is round, Aristotle and his colleagues were satisfied that they had come to that conclusion. And how did they do it? It's written, one of their proofs was that they measured the shadows which was cast on the moon by the earth during an eclipse and concluded it could be caused only by a sphere. So this is talking 2,500 years ago, they were measuring the shadows on the moon which the earth cast. And therefore he and his colleagues were known as both the father of philosophy, science, and astronomy. And the great developments of the West is because it's built on these foundations. Mathematics, such subjects as trigonometry, I believe calculus also, I'm not sure, but I think calculus also, but trigonometry it's brought, or the Archimedes principle, these are principles which have been used for thousands of years in mathematics, developed by this nation. When it comes to politics, democracy is a Greek word. It was the concept that was developed by them. art, they were famous in this. Greek art and architecture and engineering went down through the history. And architects have told me that when they built, we've mentioned this many times, when they built something, they built it with such beauty and such perfection that the famous Greek columns, when a person looks at it from a distance, it won't look straight because of a break in the eye. So they would make it in a way in order to preserve that straightness. And I've spoken to several architects that have studied this, and they said it's unbelievable what they did. That much of it we cannot duplicate today, even with our modern technology. And even in their ornamentation that went down, the columns were also built in this way. And those that studied Greek and Roman engineering and building and so forth told me that the Roman art and building were a totally cheap imitation compared to the Greeks. Another example, the Greek language. The Chazal tell us that the Greek language, people who studied ancient Greek say it's one of the most intricate languages. The Chazal, the sages tell us that the Greek language is the most beautiful of all of the 70 languages, the pure Greek language. We don't have it today anymore. But it was the most beautiful of all of the 70 languages, of the 70 secular languages given to the world. And interestingly, Ms. Doral told me that the alphabet was of Greek origin. Many believe, thought it was always Roman origin. It's not, it's Greek origin, the alphabet. And the original Greek was written right to left like Hebrew. Not left to right, but right to left like Hebrew and other Semitic languages. Sport to them was a total dedication. And their involvement in sport was not for gain, and it was not for fun. But this was a perfection of the body and the art of the sport. And as we all know, what is the apex of sport in the world? The Olympics. Olympics, marathon, discus, javelin, these are all Greek words. So it gives you, now these are just a few notes. There have been big volumes of books written on this nation. When they came up against Klal Yisrael, it was an ideological battle of the Chochmos HaTeva, the secular wisdom which they were the masters of, versus the Kedushas HaTorah, the Chochmos HaTorah, the wisdom which came from another world. Kodesh Baruch Hu created a spiritual wisdom from another world and a physical world in this world, and a physical wisdom in this world. It can and should work hand in hand because it's all the handiwork of the Almighty. But they wanted to rule. And their eye was on Klal Yisrael, and their eye was on the center of this wisdom, the center of this Kedusha. That's the Yerushalayim and Beis HaMikdash. That's what they were after. This is why we find they didn't burn the Beis HaMikdash. The Romans were a different type of people. They came, and the same thing with the Babel, they came and they burnt the Beis HaMikdash. They plowed over Yerushalayim. We don't find that they ever burnt the Beis HaMikdash. Rather, it states, V'timu es ha'hechal. They caused impurity to the Beis HaMikdash. They could not take the fact that Klal Yisrael had a Kedusha, a sanctity higher than theirs. So this was what the war was. And therefore, their main motivation was not to destroy the people of Israel, but to destroy the Torah of Israel, the mitzvahs of Israel. you look in the Milgivus Hanukkah, it states where they said they offered them, come and we'll be like one nation. Why must you be different than us? You will serve our gods. This was the Greek philosophy and the Greek idolatry and the Greek mythologies. You will serve our gods with us. You will live together like with us. This was the Greek culture. Why must you be different? So the war was not against the people of Israel, but rather the soul of Israel. The Torah and the mitzvahs of Israel. This is why it does not say in the Alanisim, like it states by Purim, Lahashmid al-Laharek, Haman was interested in physically destroying all Israel. But rather it states, Lahashkicho miteirasecho, they rose up to destroy the Torah of Israel, Ulaavira mechukei ratzonecho, and to move them from the mitzvahs of Hashem. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Sanhedrin, and Daf Ayin Dalet, and the Rambam brings it in Perakei of Yesodei HaTorah. Could you just give me the Rambam Chelek Aleph? That there is a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, of sanctifying Hashem's name, when it comes to giving one's life for Torah mitzvahs. And it's brought three levels in regards to this mitzvah. If a non-Jew comes and he forces another, if not a Jew, to transgress the mitzvahs of Hashem for his own personal satisfaction, for example, he comes to the Jew and says, cook this on Shabbos for me because I'm hungry, or build the house for me on because I need it. And if not, he points a gun at the Jew. This is the first level. Then we are not required to give our lives. We are not required to give our lives. We must live and not die, with the exception of Gimel Chamuras and the three cardinal avedas of idolatry, incest and adultery, and the spilling of blood. But otherwise we're not required to give our lives. Then there's a second level. If a non-Jew comes and he forces a Jew to transgress a mitzvah for the sake of transgressing a mitzvah, he says, here, cook this on Shabbos for me. Not that I need it, but I want the Jew to cook on Shabbos. Build on Shabbos for me. Not that I need it, but I want you to be mechalel Shabbos. Lahaviram al dosam. Then this is a more severe state of affairs. Then we are obligated to give our lives on all mitzvahs publicly. If it takes place in the presence of 10 Jews, we have to give our lives on all mitzvahs publicly, but not privately. So that's the second level. Then there's a third level. And the third level the Gemara brings, and the Rambam brings it, and that is what is called Shas HaGzera or Shas HaShmad in the time of evil decree. V'chol ha'dvorim ma'ele shalei b'Shas HaGzera. All of this is not speaking when there's a decree. Avol b'Shas HaGzera v'hu she'emad melech rosha. If it's a time of an evil decree, for example, an evil king stands up. A mitzvah min ha-mitzvahs, and he makes a decree to destroy the Torah of Klal Yisrael. All mitzvahs are even one mitzvah. Then on that, Yehorek v'yavar afil al achas mishar mitzvahs. Then we are obligated to give our life on all mitzvahs, even a mitzvah kala, even a light mitzvah. And there is no difference whether it's public or private. This is what the Gemara tells us. So again, if a Jew is forced to transgress a mitzvah, but the goy that's forcing him is doing it for his own personal benefit, he wants the Jew to cook for him on Shabbos so he have what to eat, then we don't have to give our lives, except if it's the three cardinal averus. Second level is, if a Jew is forced to transgress a mitzvah, and the non-Jew wants him to transgress the mitzvah merely for the sake of transgression. He wants the Jew to be Mechalel Shabbos, to desecrate Shabbos and so forth. Then we're obligated to give our lives on all mitzvahs if it's in public. But privately we don't have to. The third level is B'shas HaGzeira. If a king rises up and he makes a decree on all of Israel that Jews are not allowed to keep mitzvahs, or Jews are not allowed to study Torah, or Jews are not allowed to do this, then the halacha, the law is, Yehoreg Val Yaver, we must give our lives a fil al mitzvah kala, even on the smallest mitzvah, and even in private. There's no distinction publicly or privately. Now, actually, the Gemara brings a filu arax de mesano, which means even to change the shoelace. If Jews are wearing a particular shoelace and the non-Jew wants Jews to change the shoelace, in such a case we can't even do that. Now what the interpretation of that is a discussion in the Rishonim, in the commentaries, whether that's speaking where it was a minhog, a Jewish custom, to wear such shoelaces, or it's speaking where there was a mitzvah, an actual mitzvah related to one of the mitzvahs of the Torah. But everyone agrees that even on the smallest mitzvah min haTorah, during the time of a overall decree against Torah Israel, then even on the smallest mitzvah we must give our lives. Whether it also encompasses a custom, a minhog, that's a question, see, and that has to do with that Gemara. But everyone agrees, even on the smallest mitzvah. Now why is it? The reason is, in such a case, the Torah and mitzvahs of all of Israel is in danger. If a Jew is confronted by a non-Jew that he wants to benefit from the service of the Jew, so he's not trying to eradicate Torah from Israel. Or even if he's confronted by a non-Jew who wants to eradicate Torah from Israel, but from this individual. So it relates to an individual. It doesn't relate to all of Israel. But when there's a decree against all of Israel, lahaviram mechukei ritzonecho, to lead them astray from Torah and mitzvahs, then the Torah and mitzvahs of all of Israel is in danger. And in such case, this is the greatest chilul Hashem. This is the greatest desecration of Hashem's name. Because the Jews are in the world to promote Hashem's name. Jews are here in the world to fulfill Torah and mitzvahs, to bring to the world the recognition that there's an Almighty, a Creator in the world, like Avraham Avinu did. And if Torah is lost from Israel, then this is the greatest desecration to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. In such a case of Chilul Hashem, in this case, then there's Ein Lo Shir. There is no limit to how far we have to give our lives to prevent this. Therefore, Kol Yisrael, all of Yisrael, is obligated to give their lives al kiddush shmei hagodol, on the sanctification of His great name, in order to preserve Torah by Yisrael. This is the explanation in this halacha. And this is what took place during the time of the war of Hanukkah. The Greeks came and they tried to eradicate Torah from Israel. In that case, then we are obligated to protect Torah and mitzvahs with every power that we have, and to give our lives in totality to protect this. This is what the Hashmonaim did. they went and they refused to bow. They refused to give up any mitzvahs. They refused to stop studying Torah. They refused to eat nevelis and treifas, impure foods. They insisted on circumcising their children, even though these are not mitzvahs that generally we have to give our lives up on, because the Gemara says it was Shas Hashmad, it was the time when they wanted to eradicate Torah from Israel. And they were ready to give their lives, or they have, many gave their lives, for the Kiddush Shmei HaGodl, to sanctify the great name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu came, and he helped the Hashmonaim, and he brought miracles, where it was Ramim Yad Ma'atim, small band of people, were able to conquer the greatest armies of the world, and he brought all of the miracles. Then it's the greatest mitzvah, legalis es hanes hazeh, ulefashima, to show this miracle and to publicize this, to show that Torah and mitzvahs will always remain by Israel, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name will always be in the world. See, if Torah is removed from the world, then his name is removed from the world. As long as there's Israel here, but not Israel physically and spiritually here, then his name will be in the world. So then is the greatest mitzvah to be mefarshim this. And the Gemara tells us that there was a difference between Hanukkah and Purim. Purim, the Gemara says, was not an open miracle. The miracle was concealed. It wasn't clear and evident, the hand of the Almighty. It was concealed. And it took place in the Golus, in the darkness of the exile. And therefore, there is not even the way of expressing the miracle on Purim, the Gemara brings, is also in a concealed manner. Gemara says, we read the Megillah, Zui Alilo, this is the Hallel. When you read the Megillah, you're actually not really expressing the miracle of the Megillah, because the Megillah itself doesn't tell about the miracles of Hashem, just tells a story. But Hanukkah was a total victory. It wasn't in the Golos, it was in Eretz Yisrael. And the Malchus, the empire, was returned for 200 years to Klal Yisrael. And it was an open miracle, a miracle of great armies that fell into the hands of small bands, and the miracles of the natives of the candles. And therefore we have to reveal and publicize this miracle accordingly. Now we can ask a question. Why was it that the miracle took place in the candles, in the oil? What was the significance of that? The miracle could have taken place in many facets, but why in the oil? And the oil, which was to light the menorah. The menorah was in the Heichal. The second question we can ask is, why did the miracle of the oil last for 8 days? They found oil, there was enough to light for 1 day, and it lasted for 8 days. By that time they were able to get new oil, but there must have been some significance in the 8 days. Actually, it comes out that Hanukkah, which is 8 days long, is the longest yantiv that we have. And it's the only time during the entire year that we say Hallel for 8 days. Because Pesach min HaTorah is only 7 days. And even Sukkot which is 8 days, but that's because there's a different holiday added on to it, Shmini Atzeres, which the Gemara says is a yantiv by itself, but the basic Sukkot is only 7 days. So there must be something significant in the eight. So the Maral explains as follows. The Gemara tells us all of the time that shemen zayis, oil, which we bring light from, and candles, and light, that always is representative of Torah and mitzvahs, and sanctity. For example, it says, ki ner mitzvah v'torah or. A mitzvah is a candle, and Torah is a light. And we always sanctified everything with the oil. When you brought something new into the Beis HaMikdash, it had to be sanctified. It was sanctified with oil. A new king was crowned, he had to be sanctified with oil of the olives. And the reason why a mitzvah is described as a candle, Torah is described as a light, the neshama also, near neshama, the soul is described as a light, because light is totally contrary to something of physical material. The source of all physical material of Chaimer is the earth. If you'll go down in the earth, you won't find any light. Earth is darkness. The deeper you go into the earth, the darker it will be. Not only is earth darkness, earth is contrary to light. Because wherever there's physical material, light cannot penetrate. The higher one ascends from the earth, the less physical material, and the more the light penetrates. If a person ascends into the air, there he'll have more light. The higher he goes into the atmosphere, the purer the light is. Until he comes to the sun. And this is in the physical world. Chazal tell us that in the spiritual world, that's kula or, that's all light. And therefore, when it comes to sanctity, when it comes to a candle, to a mitzvah, when it comes to Torah, this is described as a light. The menorah, which had the candles, it was in the Heichel. The Heichel was an inner chamber of the Beis HaMikdash, but it was not the most inner chamber. And there were only 7 candles. There were not 8 candles. There were 7. If you went further into the Beis HaMikdash and you came into the Kodesh HaKadosh, the innermost chamber, what was there? There was the Orin HaKodesh, the Orin which held the Sefer Torah. And the sages tell us, why was it called Orin? Hashem Or, because it was Kula Or, it was all light. The description of Torah is all light, because it's something which is totally non-physical. And when a person studies it, he becomes light. States that Chochmas Odom Teir Ponav, the wisdom of a person reflects on his face with light. The Kodesh HaKadoshim was a place that only the Kohen Gadol could go. He went there on Yom HaKippurim, and only he was allowed to go. It states that the regular Kahanim always wore 4 garments. Kohen Gadol wore 8 garments. The Kohen Gadol was allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And during the year, he would wear 8 garments. He would be the only one. Why was that? Because the world was created in 7 days. So 7 days represents the physical world. 6 days of work and Shabbos. But the Kodesh HaKadoshim was beyond this world. So therefore, it was a level of 8. Torah is beyond this world. And Torah was given always at a level of 8. For example, it states that when you went out of Egypt, you shall count 7 full weeks. And after you count 7 full weeks, on the first day of the 8th week, you will receive Torah. Because Torah is beyond this world. This Greek empire penetrated its states to the Heichal. Bitimu kol hashmonim shebeheichal. They went and they penetrated and profaned all of the oil in the Heichal. Because the Heichal is still part of this world. And they were so strong and so wise where they were able to conquer with their wisdom all of this world. But further they could not go. Further they could not penetrate. Therefore it states there was one flask of oil which had this, the seal of the Kohen Godel, of the great priest. This they could not penetrate. And that was beyond their reach, and with this they relit the menorah. Now the miracle, even though it manifested itself in the menorah, but it came from the Kodesh HaKadosh. Therefore, even though the menorah has 7 candles, because the menorah is representative of this world, but its source was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is at the level of 8. Therefore, the miracle took place in the oil, in the candles, but lasted for 8 days because its source was coming from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where the Kohen Godel only could go, from the Oren HaKodesh, from the Torah. This means that the Greek Empire was able to conquer Klal Yisrael. They were equal with Klal Yisrael at all levels until it came to the level of Torah. All levels of this world, they were unequal. But at the level of Torah, we were able to conquer them. And that's what the Hashmonaim brought back into the world, and they were victorious. And therefore the miracle lasted for 8 days, and we light the candles for 8 days, and we say hello for 8 days. Now it's interesting to note there's another mitzvah which 8 plays a very significant role in. Which mitzvah is that? It's a mitzvah of Bris Milah. Bris Milah is on the Yom HaShmini, the 8th day. It's interesting to note that if you read in the Megillus Chanukah, the Greeks in particular were against that mitzvah. One of their specific decrees were that any mother that was caught circumcising a child, so she together with the child would be killed. They were in particular against that mitzvah. Why is Bris Milah on the 8th day, and why were the Greeks in particular against it? The fact is, the books bring, they write, that when the Greek athletes used to perform in sport, and again it was a dedication of love, they used to dedicate their children to this sport totally. So the books write they used to perform in these athletics naked. This is how they would perform in these athletics. And one of the problems of the time, see, the influence was tremendous because you weren't dealing here with a boorish nation. You were dealing here with the most cultured nation in the world. One of the problems of the time was the tremendous influence of the Greek culture, the Hellenism, upon Jews. And there were many Jews that were being influenced to assimilate together with the Greeks. And in order to look like Greeks and to be able to perform together with them, many Jews didn't want to become circumcised. Because they were not able to show themselves as an equal to the great Greek nation. This was one of the problems of the time. At any rate, they were against this mitzvah. Now, why is the mitzvah of Bris Milah 8 on the 8th day? the Medrash brings on the eighth day in order that the child can have a Shabbos. If it's on the seventh day or sixth day, he won't always have a Shabbos. But if it's on the eighth day, it says it must be so a total Shabbos will pass by. Now what does that mean? The Bris Milah is a mitzvah which is an improvement on the physical world. Because physically, a person is born uncircumcised. So the Bris Milah is an improvement on the physical world. It's an improvement on the physical world through Torah. Therefore, it must come after the 7 days of the creation of the world. First, we must come to the 7 days of the creation of the world, the 6 days, and then to Shabbos, and then to Torah. So therefore, the child must wait till the 6 days passed, and the Shabbos passes, and then he can come to Bris Milah. This is why Bris Milah is on the eighth day. The Gemara in Masechta the Shabbos tells us, in the beginning of Perek of the Blessed Milah, it says one of the reasons why we find that Bris Milah Jews always keep, because it states called mitzvah shemosru atzman alehem lemisa, all mitzvahs that Jews during history gave their lives for, these mitzvahs always remain by Jews. And it states Bris Milah we find that the Jews gave their lives for bishas gzeres hamalchus. Bris Milah was one of the mitzvahs that Jews gave their lives for at the time when kings came to decree against Bris Milah. And this was during the time of the Greeks. The Greeks were against this mitzvah because they were the masters of the physical world. So they, by nature, were against anything that was beyond the physical world. But because they were against it, Jews gave their lives to preserve it. And therefore this mitzvah is brought, this mitzvah remains by Israel all the time. At any rate, they came to destroy Torah and mitzvahs from Israel. And they reached to the Heichal, but they didn't reach further. Torah and mitzvahs to Israel came, was brought by the Hashmonaim, who were ready to give their lives for all mitzvahs. And it came, its source was from the Torah, which is in the Oren, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and which is light. And therefore the menorah burned for 8 days. This Pach Shemen, this flask of oil, burned for 8 days. And the miracle took place end of the Rabim B'Yad Ma'atim, the many into the hands of a few. Now, why was it necessary to celebrate this mitzvah for 8 days? Why not just one day? It was one flask of oil. What's the difference how many days it burnt? Let's say one day. So the sages tell us, it's brought, that it wasn't one miracle that lasted a long time, it was 8 different miracles, each day greater than the next. Because if you get a flask of oil to burn for 2 days, that's one miracle. If it burns for 3 days, that's a greater miracle. If it burns for 4 days, that's even a greater miracle. That's not the same miracle repeating itself over and over. But the longer you can get that oil to burn, then every day becomes a greater miracle than the miracle of the day before. In other words, it was not a repetition 8 times of the same miracle. Actually, it's brought that if it would be a repetition of 8 times of the same miracle, it would be sufficient that if we would celebrate it once and make one broch on it. But every day was a new miracle and a greater miracle than the day before. You take a flask of oil that can burn for 1 day. If it burns for 2 days, that's sense and sense. if it extends for 3 days, that's a greater miracle than took place on the second day. 4 days is even a greater miracle than took place on the third day. So every day was a new miracle, and it was greater than the day before. Therefore, we celebrated for 8 days, and with a brochen every day. Incidentally, this is why it's brought in Shulchan Aruch that when you light, for example, on the fifth day, so you have 5 candles. So which candle should you light first? Should you light the first candle and the fifth candle first? So in Shulchan Aruch it's brought that you should light the fifth candle first. Why? Because the fifth candle is an honor to show of the new day, which is a greater miracle than the other days. So therefore it's the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch to light the fifth candle first. There's discussion on this, but this is the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. So now we come back to our questions. We asked, why did the sages give us, they enacted this mitzvah, and they said, you light one candle for the household, it's sufficient. You light the number of candles for as many people in the household, that's a better way to fulfill the mitzvah. And you light candles to correlate also with the days of Hanukkah, this is even a better way. This is a mahadrin mina mahadrin. What did they give us? So many ways to fulfill the mitzvah. One way, and then a better way, and a better way. See, why didn't they just give us the mitzvah? Secondly, we asked, what is the purpose of these hidurim? See, what is the significance? Now the answer is as follows. The whole mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah is a hidur in itself. It's going beyond the demands of the Torah. The Torah never demanded from us the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah. It is something that the Chazal enacted on their own that has no source in the Torah. Why did they do it? They did it because this was a victory over the nation which wanted to eradicate Torah from us. And when a nation comes to eradicate Torah from Israel, then the mitzvah is to protect Torah and every mitzvah, even with one's life. There are no limitations. And therefore the Chazal wanted to show there are no limitations to the fulfillment of Torah and mitzvahs in such a situation. And therefore, in reaction to this, not only did they fulfill all of the mitzvahs of the Torah, but they created a new mitzvah of the Torah, near Hanukkah. The Yevonim, the Greeks, came lahashkichom teirusecho, to destroy Torah in Israel, to destroy mitzvahs. Not only did we refuse to lose our Torah and mitzvahs to save our lives, but we kept all of the Torah and mitzvahs, and in reaction to this, we will create a new mitzvah, a mitzvah of Ner Chanukah and a mitzvah of Hallel. So the whole mitzvah is basically a Hidur mitzvah. And in this same spirit, they enacted that you can add to this mitzvah. The whole mitzvah is an addition to the Torah, like the Gemara in Megillah says. No, none of the 47 prophets ever added to the Torah, except Esther by Purim, and hereby Hanukkah. The whole mitzvah was an addition. So they gave us ways to add to this mitzvah. The basic mitzvah is one candle for the household. But you can add to it. You can add one candle for every soul in the house. And you can further add. You can add one candle according to every day. Now, what are the significance of the additions? What was the reason why they enacted this mitzvah? Like the Gemara says and the Rambam says, mitzvah ner Chanukah, hi chaviva mi'od. This mitzvah is a very, very great mitzvah. Leharis, in order to tell everyone the miracle and to give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the miracle was every day. So that's one ner. And kol bayis v'bayis, every house was saved. But there's room to add. Because not only every house was saved, but the Gemara says, everyone was in the miracle. Men and women. So therefore, you want to add, then light a candle for each individual in the house. And there's more room to add. Because even though every day there was a miracle, but not every miracle was equal. The second day the miracle was greater than the first. The third, it was greater than the second. The fourth, it was greater than the third. And our whole purpose is to be Magale Esanes, to tell of the miracle. So therefore, a better way to tell of the miracle is to add candles in accordance to the number of days, to show that on the second day was a two-candle nace, not a one-candle nace. The third day was a greater miracle than the second day. And the fourth day, even greater. Add until the eighth day. Now there's a particular significance. Because it reached 8 days. In other words, it reached a level which is beyond the world. The miracle went from day one to day, not to day seven, but from day one to day eight, which is beyond the level of the world. The Kedusha, the sanctity of the Torah and the Oren HaKodesh in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So in order to emphasize this, one candle for every house each day. That's publicizing the miracle. But everyone was in the miracle. Everyone in the household. So therefore you can add a candle for every individual. And every day was a greater miracle until the eighth day. So therefore a mahadrin min mahadrin, you can add candles for every day. And it's interesting, here Beis Hillel says that what should you do? First you should light one candle and then go up to eight candles. Beis Shammai says no, first you should light eight and then to one. And Beis Hillel, what is the reason of Beis Hillel? Malin v'kedish v'eimarin. Because the Maral explains, and this is especially here, very important. You want to become great in Torah. You want to become great in Kiddush and sanctity. Then you have to start at the bottom. Can't stop it. Start at the top. Malin Bekodesh. You must start small and work up slowly, slowly, slowly. In order to reach that level, which Hanukkah reached, you have to start at day one. One candle. And the next day, two candles. And the next day, three candles. Only there, through this, can you come to eight. So therefore, there was this great victory against the Greek Empire. The supremacy of Torah. Over the supremacy of the secularism of the Greeks. And in order to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to be Megale, to show the miracle, Chazal added to the Torah. They added a mitzvah to the Torah, since our whole Torah was in danger and we gave our lives for the smallest part of Torah. They even added more mitzvahs to the Torah. And this mitzvah they gave us to fulfill also in ways of adding to it in order to bring a shvach behidor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should be zeicher to have a simple Hanukkah and to see miracles come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to all of Israel.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.